Tim, come on up. We're blessed to have you this morning. Give us the word of God. Thank you, Tim.
Well, gentlemen, it is good to be back with you. It's great to see your faces and the fellowship we enjoy together when we get to meet together. Let me ask you just a couple questions first, then we'll pray together. Anybody have any cares when they came in this morning? Something resting on their shoulders that they were thinking about? Any cares this world's pressing on you? Maybe some of you in a season of distress or grief. Maybe somebody wearing a neck brace. I don't know. I came in, there's a guy sitting by me with a neck brace. We've got some cares in this life, don't we? Did you notice what these words said, though, that you just sang? The sweet hour of prayer calls me from a world of care. Bids me at my Father's throne to make all my wants and wishes known. In another place it says, and I've often escaped the tempter's snare by thy return to a sweet hour of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we get to call you Father and to address you this morning as our Lord commanded. We thank you for the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for his work, for your gift of him to us, to send him down to this world, that he would tabernacle among us, that he would be here, teach us many things, and teach us one of those things is how he taught his disciples to pray. And Lord, I pray that we would all here this morning be your disciples, and that you would continually teach us to pray, remind us to pray, let us be praying people. Lord, we pray for this world here, that your kingdom above would take over this kingdom below. And we know that you've promised it will. We pray that you would let your gospel go out in all of our churches, that the word of Christ would be preached, that we would hear about his death, burial, and resurrection to save sinners, that we'd be proud to share that message with all that would have an ear to hear that. And we pray that you would prepare the ears to hear that message. Thank you this morning for providing us food and just shelter and life and breath in this place, that we can enjoy the fellowship of the saints together. Thank you for sanctifying us and making us saints in the first place through your blood, that mighty gift upon your cross. We pray that you would this morning remind us of these things that you've blessed us with, so that we have thankful hearts and prayerful hearts to trust in you, rely on you, but then serve you faithfully out of thankfulness for what you've done for us. And we'd ask you this morning to be with us. I'd pray that your Holy Spirit would lead my tongue and help me to build up and edify your saints, but to glorify your name and honor you with all that is said this morning. We'd ask for your help in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you would go over to England and go into the tabernacle over there, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, it was said that Mr. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers back in the 1800s, would take somebody for the first time that went to their building, and he would take them down into the basement. Any of you heard this before? He would take them down into the basement. All right, Ed's with me. He would show his visitors to his church the basement, where he would find about 100 people in prayer. And then he would say, this is my boiler room. This is my boiler room. This is what makes the engine go, boys. Spurgeon believed that prayer was the secret to his ministry and that he was warmed by the knowledge that his members prayed for him. He encouraged people to pray even when they didn't feel like it, saying, if I feel myself disinclined to prayer, then is the time when I need to pray more than ever. Whenever you would feel like you don't want to pray, that's perhaps the best time for us to take a minute and pray. Especially when that guy cuts me off in the morning, you know? Woo, I don't want to pray right then. I got to pray for my enemy. Man. One other quote I'll get you warmed up with, and then we'll go to the scriptures. He who lives without prayer, he who lives with little prayer, he who seldom reads the word, and he who seldom looks up to heaven for a fresh influence from on high, he will be the man whose heart will become dry and barren. However, he who falls in secret on his God, who spends much time in holy retirement, who delights to meditate on the words of the Most High, and whose soul is given up to Christ, such a man must have an overflowing heart. As his heart is, such will his life be. May you have lives that are overflowing with thankfulness. And how did the song put it? And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace. The grace of God, something you couldn't earn, didn't deserve, he divinely enabled you to believe the mighty things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that grace this morning? Does that lead you to prayer and go, thank you, Lord? What was that song we sang together a few months ago? I can't bring it. I was singing it on the way here, and now I can't say it. It may come to me. Watch out. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I'm on a delay here. Anyway, there we go. I know you guys like a quick question in the morning. You want to hear about the Lord Jesus? Good. I know that's number one. Yeah, we want to hear about the Lord Jesus. Number two, where's the first guy that prayed in the Bible? Serious question, no joke, no timid. Who was the first guy that prayed in the Bible? You might think it was Adam, and he probably did, but first place is recorded in the scripture that someone prayed. You might think it was Moses, but that would seem like it took 2,500 years or more for somebody to learn how to pray. So you might think it was Cain, because he was in a world of hurt. And I would argue that maybe he did, although I don't know that he prayed in the right way. Maybe it was Enoch. He was translated. You'd think maybe Noah prayed during that flood. But the first recorded time was Abram. Abram prayed. I found that interesting. Just a little tidbit there for you. You can look deeper into that if you want to. But this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel chapter 7. Which verse? Oh, I want the whole thing, baby. Which verse, he says to me. I tell you what. Just said one. Okay, one. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord, that's Yahweh, had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of Elohim, or God, dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for Yahweh is with you." But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Let me pause there for just a second. You want to see Christ? Was Jesus just up in a hammock in heaven during the Old Testament? Well, he's the creator, right? Jesus is our creator. So he was off busy from Genesis 1:1. Well, here in 2 Samuel, I encourage you, every time you see the word of the Lord, it was the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word. And he is the mouthpiece, if you will, of our triune God. When the word of the Lord comes, it often makes me think of Jesus, the word is going to be coming. And that's the promise you'll find often in the scripture. So when you see that word of the Lord, or name of the Lord, or angel of the Lord, often you have a quick blink of something that's flashing at you to tell, watch out, Christ is coming. He's not twiddling his fingers, waiting for the right moment. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says Yahweh, would you build me a house to dwell in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I've been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says Yahweh of hosts, or Lord of Sabaoth, Lord of armies. Interesting, he switches his name here. He didn't just say, thus says Yahweh. He says, here comes the Lord of armies. Listen to what the Lord of armies says. Why would he switch that right here? Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. So the Lord of armies took him from being a shepherd and brought him to be over his army of Israel. Maybe that's the switch. Verse 9, and I've been with you wherever you went and cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Yahweh declares to you that Yahweh will make you a house. David got flipped on his ear here. He was going to make a house for the Lord. Yahweh says, I'm going to make you a house. What's he mean about that? I will make you a house. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers. Oh, by the way, you're going to die. When you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. Who was? Solomon. And who also was? The Lord Jesus. I think there's a double entendre going on here. I'm not sure that's how you say that word, but two meanings in one place. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you. You shall come, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Any of you kingdom guys this morning? What's the Lord teach us in prayer? Thy kingdom come. Is that your prayer this morning? You want Jesus to rule. You want the Lord of hosts to take control and his kingdom to come. He shall build a house for my name. Why is God going to build a house? To honor man? To honor the name of the Lord? To honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Was Jesus' prayer to the Father. He wanted to honor his Father. That's what he prayed. Honor to the Father. Honor to the Father. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honor to the Father, honor to the Son through the Father. I got excited and lost my place, so if I read it again, that'll be fine. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name. Here we are. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This sounds like the Lord's Prayer right in the middle of here, isn't it? His kingdom come. It will be to him a father. Well, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Oh, man, John 17 is just ringing through my ears where the Father, the great high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father for us. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men. Now we know this isn't Christ, but who took the affliction, the rods, the beatings in our place? That was Christ. I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the Son of Man. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Solomon had a great house. Solomon became the greatest man the earth had ever seen, the greatest kingdom. But Jesus has a far greater kingdom that's going to follow that of Solomon. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then, King David, what would your response be after that? Hey, I'm going to make you a house, but you're going to die. But the house coming after you is greater. The house coming after you is greater. How would you respond? Here's what David did. And King David went in and sat before Yahweh and said, "Who am I, O Adonai Yehovah? Who am I, O Lord Yahweh?" Notice the name he uses when he prays. It's very personable. It's not just, "Hey Yahweh, how you doing?" He says, "Who am I, O Adonai Yehovah? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Adonai Yehovah. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Adonai Yehovah. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Adonai Yehovah. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant known. Therefore you are great, O Adonai Yehovah. For there is none like you. There is no Elohim besides you. There's no other spiritual being that can compare to Adonai Yehovah. There is no Elohim besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom Elohim went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name?" There it is again. Making himself a name. "Making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourselves from Egypt, a nation and its Elohim. And you establish for yourself your people, Israel, to be your people forever. And Yahweh became their Elohim." See, the Elohims of these other nations, it caused a lot of trouble. The Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, because we kept breaking the first commandment. Going after these other spiritual beings, going after these other gods. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me." He was concerned about the honor going to the Father and his name. He is the only spiritual being. He's the creator of these other spiritual beings. And for man to go and worship a created entity, even though it's a spiritual being, angel worship, as we're warned of in the New Testament. Oh, how dreadful a thought. The Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivity, this was the main reason given, because they would have these other Elohim before them. Verse 24, "And you established yourself, your people Israel, to be your people forever, and you, O Yahweh, became their Elohim. And now, O Adonai Yehovah, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken, and your name will be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts.'" Here it is again. Yahweh of Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies is God over Israel, is Elohim over Israel. This is the Elohim you're to worship, and the house of your servant David will be established for you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to do what? To pray. When you have courage, you pray. Interesting. When you don't have courage, when you're discouraged, what do you fail to do? I think we can learn something here. "Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Adonai Yehovah, you are Elohim, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, Adonai Yehovah, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." May the house of your servant be blessed forever. That house is coming. The word's going to become flesh. The house is coming. If you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll build it back up, the Lord Jesus said. He was the temple. He was the house, the tabernacle that we looked for. 2 Samuel 7 is a great prayer. Did you notice all the names in there? I've been studying the names of God for my Sunday school class at church, and it's just so rich and encouraging. And I miss the translations. I think the translations miss for us the ability to see what's going on a little better in a chapter when you get to hear the names in the Hebrew and think through what they mean rather than just saying God, 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 Lord, 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 until we're just dead to it. But there's something going on there with those names. The Lord of hosts is going to make the house. Your king? No. Jesus is king. God's king. You pick that up when you pick up these names. So I love those names, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That's the name of the Lord. As an encouragement to you to offer intercessory prayer cheerfully, remember that such prayer, the sweetest God ever hears. By intercessory, I'm talking about praying for one another. And you know that, I think, but I want to remind you to pray for one another. Who told us to do that? Lord Jesus said to serve one another, pray for one another, love one another. Remember that such prayer is the sweetest God ever hears, for the prayer of Christ is of this character. His intercession must be the most acceptable of all supplications. And the more like our prayer is to Christ, the sweeter it will be. Think about how Christ responded to his enemies. Satan, his mortal enemy, entered Judas Iscariot, his hand-picked apostle. You know what Jesus did next? He washed his disciples' feet. Doesn't ever say that he skipped Judas Iscariot either. And after he finished wiping their feet, cleaning their dirty feet like a servant, intimately. Any of you want to kick off your shoes and let somebody wash their feet right here, right now? Everybody would say no, right? I hope you would say no. Because I don't like feet. They're disgusting. Anyway, after he washed Judas Iscariot's feet, he told him to go do what you're going to do quickly. And Satan and Judas took off to go get done what Jesus had planned all the time, to submit his house to the cross and let that house be torn down. But it was going to rise again. And he did rise again. He is risen today. So our prayer, our petitions, they're going to be accepted because of Christ. Our pleadings for others, having in them more the fruits of the Spirit, more love, more faith, more brotherly kindness, will be through the precious merits of Jesus, the sweetest offering that we can offer to God, the very fat of our sacrifice. Remember again that intercessory prayer is exceedingly prevalent. What wonders it has wrought. And last but not least, Proverbs. Wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the writer of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:8 says, the prayer of the upright is what? The prayer of the upright is his delight. God delights in our prayers. Not prayers for the dead, we're upright. That's bad. The prayer of the upright is his delight. This is as good a promise as there can be, for it declares a present fact which will be the same throughout all ages. God takes great pleasure in the prayers of upright men. He even calls them his delight. Our first concern is to be upright, neither bending this way nor that way. Continue upright, not crooked with policy, nor prostrate by yielding to evil. Be you upright in strict integrity and straightforwardness. If we begin to shuffle and shift, we shall be left to shift for ourselves. If we try crooked paths, we shall find that we cannot pray. And if we pretend to do so, we shall find our prayer shut out of heaven. Are we acting in a straight line and thus following our Lord's revealed will? Then let us pray much and pray in faith. Let's pray together, but in a different way. As our Lord said, our Father in heaven, that means we're saying it together. Let's say that together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Praise God.